I gotta walk. Got the chalk, about to draw outlines for these ladies I'm about to slay. Got my cape on with some napalm. Shots of days gone, then the game's on. What you play, huh? Hard to get. I'll be wet for all that dry hate. Looking my way while your eyes say you and I may get off like a right lane, but I might strain. Pull up lame with a migraine. I'm a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for that acid offense. With a ladder, get up, phony. I said a wrench to that ratchet bitch, a bench for that acid offense. With a ladder, get up, phony. Hello, miss, like, what's your name? Such a shame you don't drink. Who's to blame? Cause I'm fine like I'm Cosby in the lobby of an AA meeting on a payday. We can make it rain even on a sunny day. What you say? You and I could run away. Meet up when you drop that molly off. Love that chick a Molotov while she's on the side, hating faded lane on the pavement, wasting all of my patience.
Come on, you gotta go.
Go ahead, put your pants out. You gotta get up. I'm a bag, but I ask now. Come on and get up. I'm a bag, put my hands out. You gotta get up. Step, gotta make down. Motherfucker, get up. Go ahead, put your pants out. You gotta get up. I'm a bag, but I ask now. You come on and get up. I'm a bag, put my hands out. You gotta get up. Step, gotta make down. Why don't you get up?
What up? It's your boy, Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank. I'm coming at you solo dolo today. My man Whiskey bitched out. Nah, not really. We were going to do a podcast last night, but I have a day job, and I wake up very early in the morning. I know most people think I'm a professional podcaster, but unfortunately, I have to report that I don't make a fucking dollar off this shit, being as that there's only two listeners. So we were going to do a celebratory podcast last night for our two listeners, celebrating the fact that we are now live on the iTunes store on the podcasting app that comes already downloaded on your iPhone. So you don't have to go anywhere. You just go onto your podcast app. A lot of people don't even realize it. It's already on there. You just look up Whiskey Sick and bam. Boom, bap, blow. I'm in your face. All up in you. Can't get rid of me. Anyways, I'm high as fuck right now. I can't even play it off. I gotta tell you, I recently got myself a medicinal marijuana card, and my life has never been better. It's so convenient. It's so convenient that it's ridiculous. In the old days, you used to have to jump through hoops, do circus tricks, dance little jigs and whatnot to try to get some bud. You might spend your whole fucking day calling up your hookup. He don't got any. He's dry. He tells you to hit up this other dude. So you hit this dude up saying that this other dude told you to call him. He says, nah, homie, I don't got shit. But hey, I got a number for you. Why don't you hit up this guy? So now you're hitting up a guy telling him about the guy before told you about. And so now you've gone like three levels deep into this shit. And you're dealing with some motherfuckers that you have no idea who they are. You go somewhere, try to meet up. You wait for a fucking call. You know, we had pagers. We had pagers back then, man. So then you get a page. Fuck, I'm already at the spot. Now I gotta go find a payphone. But before I find a payphone, I gotta find 50 fucking cents to use at the payphone to call my fucking pager just so I could get the goddamn message that this motherfucker ain't showing up. So now I've wasted my whole fucking night. I don't even got a little nug. I'm in the back seat fucking looking under my seats in my car trying to find little nugs that have fallen through the cracks of the seats during last night's session. I'm trying to find roaches so I can get some little fucking half-burned weed out to try to make a fucking salvage a bowl. Next day, repeat the process, maybe get lucky. Only have $5 from each person, so we got about $20 on us, so we're gonna get about a gram and a half, 2 grams. We're gonna smoke that tonight, and we'll be right back at it again tomorrow. I'm just fucked up. We all got our shit together. We were fucking balling out of control one time. We all got paid on the same day. We'd buy an eighth. Shit would last us a fucking week. Nah, not really. It lasts me about a week now, so it probably lasts us about 2 nights. Then we'd have to go and do the whole process over again. But not no more, motherfuckers. Not no more. We are free. For people not in Colorado, California, Nevada, states that are free, let me describe to you how simple it is now. I got my little weed maps app. We'll pull this shit out right now. It's the fucking greatest app ever made. Just pull this shit up. It's GPS located. Knows right where you are. You can search for buds. Storefronts, if you want to go shopping. If you like the window shop, you like to hold it, smell it before you buy it, touch it. You can go to the storefront. Gives you all that. You can even get little coupons here. So you can go over there, buy an eighth. First time customers, they give you a free eighth with your eighth. A gram, a blunt, something dope. Maybe an edible. Careful with those edibles. Or you keep scrolling down, you get delivery service. Let me tell you about this shit. This shit is easier. No joke, easier than ordering a motherfucking pizza. I've already used it one time. After the first time I used it, I just text the dude. I want a fucking eighth of that ooh-wee. I want a fucking eighth of that rainy day lady. He says, $80. Be there in a half hour. No shit. Doorbell rings. I run my little happy ass downstairs. Homie's got the little ditty. Got the little free shit in the other hand. Hand him the money. Done. Done deal. I'm getting ripped out of my mind. Doing podcasts. Solo. In a fucking room by myself. Talking to myself. To nobody, because I have literally like 2 fans. But that's all going to change someday. So anyways, I'm rolling solo today. That's my little bud story. For the day, for the week. So the special news is that we're on iTunes, so go check us out. You can download us on that. We're on podbean.com also, so you can look us up on there. But you can get the show now. So now this feels real. It feels exciting. It's tangible. I can taste it. I can feel it. You know? But big weekend last weekend. Big weekend that was not, actually. We'll get into some fight talk real quick, because there's a lot of shit going on in the world of fighting. And I mean all fighting. I mean boxing. When I talk fighting, I mean boxing, kickboxing. I'm talking Glory, Lion fights. I'm talking MMA, UFC, Bellator, World Series of Fighting, whatever the fuck, Dream, all that. Anything that has to do with fighting, we're talking about it. And last night, or a couple nights ago, was bitch-ass Julio Cesar Chavez Jr. versus Canelo Alvarez. And I tried to tell anybody who would listen. I was on the Canelo bandwagon for this fight. I stress this fight. Only because Chavez Jr., he ain't his pops. He never was. Couldn't make him. First of all, I don't know how a dude who's 5'6 has a kid that's 6'1. So we need to check the birth certificate on that shit in the first place. But number two, he sure as fuck don't fight like his dad. I mean, this dude just went out there and just covered up for 12 rounds in a boxing match where there's literally 12 rounds with 3 judges. You can have all sorts of combinations of who won each round. All 3 judges had 12-0. None of the judges gave Chavez Jr. even a courtesy round, not even a participation round. Thanks for coming out. Nothing. 12-0. Homeboy literally just stood there with his high guard, with his hand guard up there, and just 8 punches. Left and right, body, head. He had some little cute little flurries, but that was only when Canelo would back himself up against the ropes and let this dude. He was so embarrassing. He was just like, "Yo, homie, we gotta act like this was a fight. You know, we gotta pretend this is a fight. I need to be hit. I got a big fight after this. I need to see some punches, man." So Canelo would back himself up against the ropes. And this tiddlywink would run up there and throw a couple little body shots, a 1-2 and a little liver shot. This predictable shit he always does. Then Canelo would just back him up with some vicious overhands, some uppercuts, some fake jabs, crosses. Just dotted him up, just sunned him. Pappied his ass. Pappied his ass real good. Then backstage, Diaz brothers are taking pictures with Chavez Jr. Dude's eyes are all lumped up, looking like a fucking alien. Just embarrassing, man. The weekend before that, last weekend, we had Anthony Joshua versus Klitschko, Vladimir Klitschko. His brother Vitaly used to fight too back in the day. He was a monster. They're both monsters. This dude, Klitschko, is 41 years old, in there with a young lion, the future of the sport. Goes toe-to-toe with him, gets dropped early, then comes back the very next round and drops Joshua for the first time in his career. Joshua responds, but I'll tell you what, from right after the moment that Klitschko got dropped, from that moment on until the 10th round, he was winning the fight. I had him edging rounds all the way up there, so the scorecards would have been very close, even maybe Klitschko up one and going into that 10th round. And somebody put the fear of the Holy Ghost in Joshua in that 10th round, in between 9 and 10. They must have told him some shit. Some foul-ass shit. Some lies, rumors, innuendos. Fire his ass up. Dude came out. Just started laying hands on Klitschko. Just started pressing a pace. Dude had never even been... Joshua had never been even past the 7th round. Here he is in the 10th round. Somehow, some way, he got a second win. Starts putting hands all over Vladimir Klitschko. He survives 10. 11 comes around, and that's all she wrote. Joshua put him away. Wins the belt. The vacated belt, because Tyson Fury, he vacated his belt after he beat Klitschko, because he went fucking loony. Homie just lost his fucking mind. Literally just had to check himself into the loony bin and shit. So he couldn't fight. So hopefully next for Joshua is Fury. If that dude's right mentally, that'll be a hell of a scrap. And maybe we get Deontay Wilder to fight Klitschko. Winner of that gets the winner of Fury versus Joshua. That'd be sick. But from this past weekend, since Canelo won, the fight we've been waiting for a while is Triple G versus Canelo, September 16th. Few months away. Basically what happened is Canelo wanted no part of this motherfucker about a year ago. He said, I gotta wait. I ain't ready for that dude. I'm not trying to get slapped around. So it was a smart move on his part. Fans kinda talk shit to him. I talk shit to him. I ain't gonna lie, I talk shit. So you bitch, go fight this motherfucker. Nah, I was just talking shit, man. Look, that's smart shit. He needed some more rounds, he needed some more confidence boosters. You don't just go in there versus a killer when you're not ready. It's easy for me to say. It's not my face getting punched. So we're going to get it this September, which Dana White and Floyd Mayweather said was going to be the Mayweather-McGregor fight. I call shenanigans on that bullshit. I'm just saying that. It's convenient just to get their name. Trying to steal a little motherfucking shine from Triple G and Canelo. Trying to put their little name in the mix. I've been talking about this fucking fight for months now. Still don't see shit. So much money to be had, and they can't figure it out. Greedy motherfuckers. Hopefully that'll get done, though. Mayweather and McGregor. Let's pull up this fucking UFC that's up. And, damn, blowing up. I apologize in advance. I cuss a lot. Potty mouth, man. It's kind of a bad habit I never lost, but... We're all adults here, so if you're listening to your ride, you got your kids in the seat, might want to pop some headphones on them, play some Barney or some shit, because this ain't for them. We're going to check out this UFC that's up this weekend. It's like UFC 211, 212, something like that. Let's see here. It's going to be Miocic versus Dos Santos, part deux. They fought the first time. It was close. I had Miocic winning that fight, but It was close enough that Junior Dos Santos got the nod. Wasn't a ripoff. Wasn't too bad. Damn. Card is stacked, man. Let's start with Alvarez versus Poirier. Yo, my man Alvarez, you got the living shit beat out of you against Conor McGregor. You ran your mouth. We knew you were full of shit. We knew you weren't about it. You were just happy to be there. You were happy to have the little limelight on you. You got to say some little slick shit. But you got in that motherfucking cage and you were scared shitless, man. You got in that cage looking like I would look if I was in that cage. I'd have been trying to jump over the motherfucker and get out of there, but... So I'll give you props for standing in there. But I mean... It was a second or third punch Conor threw. He wobbled this motherfucker. And you could see in his eyes, man. It looked like he just shit himself. Like, literally. And he was scared. Anyways, that's the past. This is his first fight since that ass whooping. And he's fighting Dustin Poirier. I like the matchup for him. Dustin Poirier, he's good until he fights the elite fighters. Then he just lays eggs. He's a lot of talk. It's cool, though. He's a cool fighter. I don't mind watching him fight. I'm taking Alvarez on that shit. I'm taking Alvarez. I just think he's going to... He has a little more tools. If he's not getting the better of the stand-up, he can out-wrestle him. It's going to be a boring-ass fight. I'm going to tell you right now, this is actually going to be a boring-ass fight. Alvarez is going to try to hold him against the cage and work some takedowns. It's going to be the typical Alvarez fight before our boy Conor McGregor pappied that ass in his last fight. Next up, we got Henry Cejudo versus Little Pettis, Anthony Pettis' brother, Sergio. The better Pettis now. for real, though. Sergio, my man, my mellow, you're going to get spanked. Henry Cejudo don't fuck around. Quick hands. One of the best. He's a gold medalist winning wrestler. He's going to take you down. You ain't going to get off him. You ain't going to get him off you. And you're just going to get smothered. I'm going to say rear naked choke. Round 3. Henry Cejudo gets back on the winning track. By the way, I thought he won his last fight against Benavidez. I had him winning 2-1. This is a close enough fight, though. Again, I'm not whining. Next up, Edgar. Frankie Edgar versus Yair Rodriguez. My man, Yair. He's a monster, homie. But, you bit off too much on this one, a little too soon. You needed to have some appetizers first before you started double fisting with your elbows on the table at the fucking big kids table. This is Frankie motherfucking Edgar. He's gonna come in here. He's gonna take you down. He's gonna box your ears in a little bit. You're gonna do some little slick spinning shit. You're probably gonna miss him, and you're gonna get taken down off him. You're just not going to be able to get this little man, Edgar, off you. I know he's getting up there. He's been in some wars. Eventually, he's going to hit a wall. Could be this fight against the youngster, but I don't see it quite yet. Yair's going to get just outworked. Outworked. It's 3 rounds, so he's got to, you know, Edgar can push, you know, a pace that he can continue for 3 rounds easy. I got Edgar winning the decision. I can maybe see Yair winning the first round somehow, but then losing the second and third. So we'll go 2-1, Frankie Edgar. Write this shit down too, motherfuckers. My picks are golden. I got the fucking picks, homies. I'm telling you, watch. We keep doing this podcast. I keep giving you my picks. You can take them to the bank. Go straight to Vegas with them shits. Go down to TJ, wherever the fuck. Actually, don't go down to TJ. Scratch that shit. Don't sue me. No, don't go to TJ. Stay the fuck away from TJ. Next up, Damian Maia versus Jorge Masvidal. Woo-wee. This is the main event for me. Pure fight fans. We got Jorge Gamebred Masvidal versus the boa constrictor that is Damian Maia. Now, here's the key. As with every Damian Maia fight, is the ability of the other fighter to stay on their feet because Damian Maia's hands are dog shit. It is what it is. I think it's to the point where he doesn't even, like, throw one punch the whole fight because he knows he's corny. He knows that's some dog shit. He doesn't want to insult you by thinking you can't see it. So he just says, fuck it, I'll just take you right down. No feints, no nothing. That's not going to work against Jorge Masvidal. He's going to make him work. He's going to have to stand there and throw some hands. And if Jorge can stay on his feet, or at least get back to his feet, actually check that, he has to stay on his feet because nobody gets back up with Maya on top of him. He has to stay on his feet. I think Gamebred's wrestling and grappling is underrated. Submission specialist himself, not quite Damian, not even close to Damian Maya, but very good. Good enough to stay on his feet. Make Damian Maya have to exchange with him a few times. Gets out of the first round. It's going to be all Gamebred Masvidal. I'm going to say third round. This should be a 5-round fight. Damian Maya definitely wouldn't make it out of the third round. I mean, after the third round, he'd be laying on his back trying to pull guard in the middle of the cage. I'm going to say Gamebred's going to win by a decision. He's going to win by a decision. The next one, I don't even... Goddamn. Got to do the sign of the cross for this young lady right here. That's fighting Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Jessica Andrade, sign of the cross to you. Soon, may you rest in peace. You about to get that ass kicked. You about to get that ass kicked. Yo, you're all of about 5'1". You got wide, short punches. Joanna Jędrzejczyk. He's tall, long, slender, straight punches. She's gonna eat you up. Her wrestling, her stand, her takedown, Joanna's takedown defense is top notch. You're gonna have to work for those takedowns, and in doing so, you're gonna blow those little muscular arms up. I mean, somebody needs to test this young lady too, by the way. I ain't saying shit, but I'm saying shit. I mean, she's fucking yoked. All these Brazilian ladies are. They're all suspect. I'm side-eyeing all of you. But Andrade is going to work against you because your arms are going to fill up with blood. And then Joanna's just going to tee off on you. And this is a 5-rounder because it's for the belt. 4th round because Andrade is a tough little motherfucker. But you're getting put in the way, TKO. Joanna Jędrzejczyk. Round 4. Write that shit down. Main event. Someone's probably going to go to sleep on this one this time. This is a 5-rounder. Miocic versus Dos Santos. Damn. Dos Santos, my man, my mellow, my man. I think you need to start thinking about stepping away. You've taken a lot of punishment, my man. I think you're almost kind of towards that gatekeeper status. But Stipe, he's a monster. His chin's been touched many times. He's hittable. His head doesn't move off center line very well. But he throws combos. He puts them together pretty well. And he has some power. I see him. His wrestling is going to come into play on this too. I think he's going to work some takedowns. I think he's going to win a decision. Because it's very hard to finish Junior Dos Santos. He does that Homer Simpson shit where he just eats punches. He does that Julio Cesar Chavez shit where he's just eating bombs. But he doesn't go down. So, Junior Dos Santos, I'm sorry, my man. I like you. Stipe's going to take this shit. That's how it's going to fucking be. So, those are the picks. UFC 211. Is that shit in Dallas? Where the fuck is this shit? I think this shit's in Dallas. Dallas, Texas. You motherfucker. Dallas, Texas. This is a good segue in. You know, we just had the NFL draft. And I think it's about time that I put you guys on the game. Seth Gecko is the biggest Dallas Cowboys fan. D-boys. D-boys in the motherfucking world. I got my tickets. My old lady. Yes, my old lady. I'm married. My old lady bought us tickets to the Dallas Cowboys versus Green Bay Packers game, the revenge game, next year in Dallas. Week 5. I'm going to be in Mecca, Dallas, Texas. Cowboy Stadium, AT&T Stadium. I just wanted to take this time to announce my allegiances. I'm a Dallas Cowboys fan. Tomorrow night, or Saturday night rather, Dallas, Texas, UFC 211. Check that motherfucking shit out. I suggest streaming it. Yeah. Fuck it, I said it. I'm going to stream it. Fucking don't charge $49 for that shit if you don't want me to stream it. If you made these things even $19.99, I would buy that shit. Most of them are garbage. Most of the best fights are the free fights. This is the first pay-per-view one that's actually worth buying. I'd pay $19.99 for that shit. But $50 fucking? You gotta throw something else in there for $50 fucking. I get a handy afterwards? Something? $50 for some fucking fights that 9 out of 10 times the headlining fight gets taken away and changed 100 fucking times? Nah. Nah, Duke. I'm rolling with the free stream. I ain't gonna give you my stream. Get my shit shut down. Go find your own. All right. Moving right along. Had to re-up. Drinking some brewskis. We're gonna keep this shit going. We're gonna talk about... I'm gonna start highlighting... There's this great channel. I know it's the trendy shit right now. I'm not the first person. But there are some people out there who haven't heard of the channel, the TV channel, Viceland. It's fucking dope. It ain't your typical programming. There's a lot of knowledge being dropped on that shit. A lot of good shows. Fuck That's Delicious with Action Bronson. Weed a Kit. That shit's dope. Teach you all about weed. All the great uses for it. Medically, of course. Recreationally, too. You can do some ill shit with some weed. But I gotta talk about this show. I forget the name of the damn show. But it's on Viceland. You can see it. It's about something called LARPing. And this shit is real. You can Google this while I'm talking to you about it. Some of you may have heard. Some of us do have nerdy friends that are into some shit like this. But basically what LARPing is like role plays. But there's like... So think of, here's the definition, a live-action role-playing game. It's a form, LARP is a form of role-playing game where the participants physically act out their character's actions. So it's like an RPG video game, role-playing video game. Like, let's see, World of Warcraft, Final Fantasy, that kind of shit. Mad nerdy shit. I ain't gonna lie to you, I fuck with those back in the day. But mad nerdy shit. But these dudes here actually live it out in real life on some cosplay squared type shit. Some super atomic nuclear nerd shit. You've never seen anything like this shit. Forget the channel. I forget the show. It was something Vice. Vice Essentials. Vice Essentials. That's the name of it. Vice Essentials. And it was about LARPing and this group of dudes. I don't know if it's always, anytime I've ever heard anything about LARPing, it's always like some middle-aged witches and dragons and fucking knights and shit, and they all got little foam swords and shields, and they act out, they have like this full-on like script written, and each time they meet, it's like they meet for like days in like the woods, like a weekend, instead of, and they camp and shit. And they just, it's like a soap opera, like a live soap opera that they live. And these characters interact with each other and shit. It's fucking crazy. The nerd levels are extreme. But as I was watching this shit the other night, smoking my lemon diesel, sour diesel, I started having some thoughts. I was like, yo, man, why are they, if you're going to LARP and you got these, yo, some of these nerdy chicks were actually fly. Seriously fly. You give them a razor, shave them up a little bit, and, you know, get them out of the little witch costume. These chicks would be fly as fuck. And these nerds are like, they got these chicks right here. And they're not, for the life of me, I can't understand why they're not spitting game at them. They're like, just role-playing and shit with them. Like, if you're gonna role-play, motherfuckers, why don't you role-play like you're at a strip club, or you're the pimp and all the chicks are your hoes. And they all have to, like, satisfy you and shit. And you and your homies, too, and they do whatever you do, and that, why don't you LARP that shit? Use that shit to your advantage, homie. You know, something's already wrong with these chicks. They're already LARPing with you. They're right there. They're there for the taking. I'm not suggesting any illegal shit. I'm just saying, like, let's say, I'm daddy today. You ladies are my servants. Can we LARP that shit? You can LARP. We can start LARPing down here, if you know what I mean. And then I continued to think, yo, this shit ain't really weird at all. It's actually normal as fuck. I started thinking, how is LARPing any more weird or creepy than your typical club scene? It's the same shit. When the dude goes to the club, he pretends to be somebody. He takes on a character, usually somebody he's not. A baller. A dude that's got his shit together. He's a character. And these chicks, they're doing the same thing. They're a motherfucking character. They're at the club trying to get some dudes to spend some dough on them. So they try to dress up real nice. Like they're an strong, independent woman. Some of them are. Of course. We love those. We love hoes too. Love you all. So you have these ladies trying to bag themselves, you know, a good catch over here. So they're playing up their resume a little bit. So you got these two sides being characters as well, and then these dudes are paying to try to get these chicks drunk so that they can go back to their place with them. And 9 out of 10 times, these chicks are just playing them because they just want free drinks, because they're just partying with their homegirls. And, you know, these dudes are out here just trying to, you know, get these chicks faded and take them home. And that's just as creepy as weird as playing LARPing. So I guess I just came full circle and LARPing is fucking normal shit. Now, I don't know how LARPing's any different than cosplay. I see these people out, you know, cosplaying in the desert and shit like it's some Mad Max after a nuclear bomb, you know, Badlands type shit. I guess that's LARPing too. I don't know if they have actual storylines though. These people are actually in characters with different names like Lord Gilgamesh and shit like that. But, yo, these dudes, were showing these two guys like every day after. Actually, they're not in school. They're like 35 years old. The fuck am I talking about? Still living with their parents. In the basement, and their parents think it's real cute. You know, it's just, you know, their kid's different and whatnot. Basically, never held them accountable and told them to get the fuck out the house. But anyways, so these two dudes are out in this front yard, and they're playing with these foam swords. And they're, like, hitting each other and, like, ksh, ksh, pow, 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 making sound effects and shit. And right across the street in the background, there's, like, four, like, 8-year-old kids playing football. I saw what they were trying to do. They were trying to clown these dudes low-key, the filmers, the producers. I'm on to y'all. You were trying to clown these motherfuckers by saying, look at these motherfuckers over here LARPing. And in the background, these kids are playing football like some real good American kids, making y'all look soft. They did a good job of it. But I was on to it. Was high. I was paying attention. I was zoned out. Can't sneak shit past me. So anyways, check out Viceland if you haven't. There's also a show called Weedikit, which teaches you about weed. I was watching that shit too, of course. They had this episode about autism. And these ladies were, these mothers all had autistic kids, different spectrums, different levels of autism. Still learning a lot about it, but all the conventional medicines weren't working. And one thing that they've been told is that marijuana, weed, THC, helps with it and can calm some of the disorders and bring peace to the child. And unfortunately, they lived in a state where marijuana was illegal, but there was a act where they could actually, for medicinal uses, go to a free state and then bring weed back. The problem with it is, it was legal in their state to do that, but it's not federally legal to be bringing weed back across state lines, much less flying it in the air and shit. in her suitcase, which is what she ends up doing. So I guess they have some spray. I guess they have to make it like a spray because they don't want to, you know, you can't be like smoking blunts with your six-year-old, right? That's kind of weird. Even though it's like helping them, it's kind of hard to explain. It's just kind of a little weird to the eye. If you know this lady's in there with her like six-year-old son and they're just like passing the blunt back and forth and shit. So they make a spray. And so you just have to spray it in their mouth and it absorbs through their mouth. And they do get high. Still has THC, and it's not just the CBD oil, which is just for, you know, inflammation and the medicinal purposes. The actual high also helps them, calms, you know, some stuff in the brain. So you got to check this shit out. The lengths that some people have to go through just to use a plant. The most useful plant on this earth. These people have to jump through hoops just to, so their kid could have a normal life. So check that shit out. Viceland, episode of the week. Gotta check that shit out. Moving right along. Also on some TV shit. Love TV. You gotta check out the National Geographic. I'm pretty sure it was National Geographic. It was called the 92 documentary. It was on the, it was called 92, and it was on the riots in LA in 1992. That shit was crazy. You gotta check that out. I was actually living in Orange County at the time. I was probably, 92. I was 9 years old when that shit happened. And I could actually, where I was at, I was kind of just south of Santa Ana. So I was pretty close to that area. You could actually see in the background the fires and stuff that were started. And I remember asking my dad at the time if that was going to happen over here. And, you know, he called me down and said, no. But I remember everything. I remember watching that shit on TV. It was crazy time. The craziest part is realizing that we haven't really changed that much. We're still having the same problems, and everybody has a reason why and has a finger to point, so we're not going to get into all that shit, but just go check out that documentary because that shit was dope. And for you youngsters who weren't even born in 1992, you need to see this shit. You need to see this shit because it can happen anywhere. We saw a little bit in Baltimore a couple years ago. Check out that motherfucking documentary, 92. Yo, I gotta get on this shit. This is a little old. You probably heard about it. I know you've heard about it. You probably discussed this shit. But I'm gonna talk about it anyways. This motherfucker Ja Rule. This motherfucker Ja Rule. This motherfucker right here. How you gonna do that to them people? This fucking guy. Selling the wolfiest wolf tickets that were ever sold. This dude's selling $250,000 tickets to a 5-star resort in some fucking country. Let's look this shit up. Ja Rule. I'm going to type in Ja Rule, and I bet the shit, the first thing that comes up is going to be his little bogus ass. Yep, the Fry organization. Let's see this shit. The Fry Festival was supposed to be in some tropical place, I think. Let's check this shit out. Damn, these motherfuckers got bamboozled. Anyways, at the Bahamas. So they were supposed to get these 5-star amenities and stay in these luxurious tents and have 5-star catering and have this weekend of festivals where Blink 182 and I'm assuming Ja Rule was gonna fucking pop out at some point. Makes sense. I don't know if Ashanti was going to be with him or some shit. But a bunch of big-ass bands were supposed to be there. Blink 182, like, dropped, like, a couple weeks out before the event. That was your first fucking sign. That was your first fucking sign. These guys are like, yo, this shit's fugazi, man. You're out of your mind. This shit ain't real. We're out. Smart move on their part. That was your first cue that something was up. But these motherfuckers actually paid around $215,000. A grip of motherfucking dough to fly to this fucking place to go see this festival. They show up and this shit is like they have the tents from Katrina set up. the leftover tents. They didn't even wash them out or anything. They just fucking set them up there. They just been sitting in a fucking storage unit somewhere, and they just kind of set that shit up, and that was their five-star tent. And they literally, these motherfuckers didn't even try to hide it. They gave them two pieces of bread with a fucking slice of cheese on it, and that was their fucking dinner. Like, they didn't even try to pretend. Yo, I would have just given them nothing. I would have just said, we're waiting on the food, you know, bought some time. Maybe ran down the street to churches or something and bought some chicken or something and brought it over. I'm sure there's a McDonald's in the Bahamas. Go buy some burgers or some shit. Just, you know, throw some flashbangs, some smoke grenades, disappear, and then come back with some real shit. Homie had a fucking leftover Wonder Bread, had Wonder Bread bag in his car and just fucking put that shit on a foam tray and just handed it to these people. Fucking ridiculous. Meanwhile, crazy, this motherfucker Ja Rule says, I had no idea this shit wasn't going to happen. Well, how come you didn't even get on a motherfucking plane to go head over to that motherfucker? It's your fucking festival, homie. How you going to say, I didn't know it was bogus, but I never boarded a plane to go over there? You sure as fuck didn't. Would you thought these dudes were just going to be like, oh, fuck, shucks. I guess we missed it. Must have been last weekend, guys. Come on, let's go home. Fuck out of here. Homie saying it's not a scam. Motherfucker, that's the actual definition of a scam. Telling people that you're going to give them this and that and they show up and it's a fucking refugee camp. Jeez, man. Not a scam. Ja Rule, man. What the fuck happened to you, man? Let me have a little heart-to-heart with you. What the fuck happened to you, man? You went from holla, holla, killing shit with Vinavetta Vici. I still stand by that shit. That shit was a dope album. Ja Rule was the shit. He making songs with Jay-Z and DMX in their primes. Dope ass album. Next thing you know, he's singing on every track. He's with J-Lo on every track. Ashanti on every track. Just get soft. Start some shit with M. M destroys this dude. Literally ends his career. I don't know what the fuck happened, dude. Him and Irv Gotti are doing some weird-ass shit. They end up in fucking prison. They were acting like ballers, and they were just swindling money from people, apparently. So he gets out of jail now. Instead of trying to make a comeback, I think he did even try to come back with an album. Nobody ever heard of it. It was whack as fuck. I'm just assuming. It was whack as fuck. Why wouldn't it be? And you come up with this shit? These motherfuckers, how did they even know who Ja Rule was? He hasn't been relevant in forever. I'm sure these were a bunch of little hipster motherfuckers spending daddy's money. How'd they even know who Ja Rule was? So, I mean, look, y'all got swindled. I'm sure you're gonna get your money back. There's gonna be some lawsuits and shit, so I ain't feeling too sorry for you. I feel sorry that you're that dumb. I guess I feel sorry for that. Fuck you, Ja Rule. That's some bullshit. You can come out here. You would have just been better off if you don't even try to lie to me. Don't assume I'm stupid. Just say, yeah, man, I thought I could get away with it. Fuck it. You know, but since I didn't, here, go give him their money back. Pull that shit out of his back pocket and shit and fucking hand that shit. Yo, speaking of money, this is a hard topic switch. I just thought of something, though, when I was thinking of money. I read some shit last night. I found the greediest bitch on earth. The greediest motherfucking bitch on earth. She got into a fight with her husband. This is real shit. Go look it up. She got into a fight with her husband. And she, when he was not there or he was downstairs or some shit. Let's say he was downstairs. He was downstairs. She ran upstairs. And she ate. Swallowed $7,000, like rolls of $100 bills, so that he wouldn't take it because they were going to get a divorce or something. They were having a fight, and so he wouldn't take the money. She ran up there and swallowed rolls of $100 bills, totaling $7,000. The fuck did she think she was going to do? How was she going to recover that? Did she think she was going to shit that? She was going to shit blocks of cash out her ass? Or she was just going to throw it back up? So you $7,000 means that much to you that you're going to swallow? How the fuck did you swallow that shit? You use water or something? Imagine this lady's gag reflex. Yo, her fucking mic check game must be insane, man. Crazy. She can swallow rolls of $100 bills. Think about that, gentlemen. It's crazy. She didn't think too far. She didn't think out the plan. She never thought, how am I going to get it back? What am I going to do with this? How the fuck you going to pay for shit at the bodega with $100 bills in your stomach? Oh, I swear I have the money. Now, bitch, get out of here. So they had to rush her ass to the hospital, and I'm assuming they had to cut her ass open and remove it. Can't imagine them sticking their hands up there and fucking pulling it out her ass or something. Pulling the turds out. They fucking laid the money all out and shit. $7,000 worth of $100 bills this chick swallowed. That's some desperate ass shit. What kind of purse is that gonna buy you? It's worth you fucking swallowing that shit? Ridiculous. So, you are the greediest bitch on this earth until the next greediest bitch on this earth comes around. So, until then, you stand by. You are the greediest bitch on this earth. Yo, I've been going at this for a minute. Wasn't even planning to go this long. But, this is officially episode 3 of the podcast. If you see on iTunes, you'll notice that it starts with episode 2. That's because episode 1 has been vaulted. I wish I could say it was because it was so gold that we just wanted to, you know, surprise. Like, nah, it was whack. It was whack. Audio was all fucked up. It was buzzing. But someday I will release it once this podcast becomes a classic. And we get followers and subscribers and people advertising and shit like that, little sponsors. Once we get all that going, then who knows? But this will be episode number 3. We'll drop episode number 1 down the road sometime. Just a little gem, sprinkle it on y'all. We'll be back probably this Sunday. We're going to try to shoot for Sundays. I'm at least going to do one a week. If I got to roll solo, I got to roll solo. I'm trying to get the homie Chonies, from our old internet radio days at Radio Frequency and Hits 101. Shout out to you motherfuckers. Check them out. We used to do a little morning show over there, once a week. It was killer, but we're back on this podcast shit. So until next time, I'll catch you motherfuckers later. This is your boy, Seth Gecko, a.k.a. Moody Hank.